Charlie Kirk's goal was to turn this most liberal young generation into the most conservative in our history.
And Charlie Kirk was succeeding as thousands of university students turned out to hear his messages.
This is Issues in Education. I'm Bob Boyd.
And I'm Jerry Boyd.
Charlie Kirk was one of the most powerful conservative Christian speakers in this generation until he was brutally assassinated.
Charlie Kirk was 31 years old when he was brutally assassinated on September 10th, 2025.
Charlie Kirk's memorial service was attended by more than 100,000 people, including the president and his cabinet, and seen by millions worldwide on TV and the internet.
One of the speakers at Charlie Kirk's memorial service was President Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr. eulogized Charlie Kirk as a modern-day martyr who went into the battles with a powerful faith, intelligent, and persuasive arguments to combat the liberal atheism on campuses across the country.
Charlie joined a long line of courageous men and women who were martyred for what they believed. According to the book of Acts, the first martyr in the early Christian church was Stephen, who was stoned to death. And as Stephen was being killed, he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." There are many times in the Bible where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but this is the only time he's seen standing. I like to think Jesus was standing to welcome Stephen, the courageous martyr, into heaven. And today that gives me great comfort, because 11 days ago, as a cowardly assassin crawled on his stomach to end Charlie's life on Earth, I'm betting Charlie saw the Son of God standing tall to welcome him home. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, to watch Charlie was to see the gospel lived out. And for me, it was inspiring. It always amazes me how Charlie chose to use his platform. He had one of the largest microphones in the entire conservative movement. And what did he do with it? He handed it to the very people who opposed him most.
Charlie Kirk had one of the largest voices in the conservative movement, and what did he do with it? He handed the mic to those who disagreed with him. We don't silence our opposition, we persuade them, and we win many over to the truth. Charlie Kirk is the founder and president of Turning Point USA, and he's gone to hundreds of very liberal university campuses. He sets up a tent, a booth, and invites students and professors to come and debate the issues with him. The first was a pro-Palestinian man who challenged Charlie Kirk for defending Israel in their war with those who want to destroy Israel.
"You are a Christian who is clearly serving the Jews, defending Zionism with all you got. But you also believe Jesus is a rabbinic Jew in heaven when you know the Talmud states he's in hell."
"Okay, so you're a Talmudic expert, right? You said that I'm a what, tool of the Jews, so look at me in the eye like
I
a man."
"Said it. Do you support Israel?"
"Yes, of course I do, yes."
"Okay, that's good for you. Do you agree with Israel's war crimes? What's up with that?"
"Oh, war crimes. What is your point here of dragging up a multi-thousand-year text that you don't know, that you haven't read?
I mean,
have you purchased the Talmud? Have you read the Talmud? What is the Talmud? Tell me the difference between the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Talmud. Go ahead."
"I don't know."
"Oh, you don't know? Do you cherry-pick something on the internet that makes Jews look bad, but you can't tell me the difference between the Torah and the Tanakh and the Talmud?"
"I'm not trying to make the Jews look
no,
bad."
"No, let me tell you the difference. The Torah is the books that we as Christians acknowledge. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the most holy scriptures in Judaism. The Tanakh is also our Old Testament, right? That's Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Kings, Hezekiah, Nehemiah, Ezekiel. The Talmud are rabbinic debates spanning over 500 years, of which there's the Babylonian and the Jerusalem Talmud. The Babylonian is actually more inspired. It's 2.5 million words. The Jerusalem is lesser inspired, and they disagree on all sorts of stuff, and they pick it up. You don't even know the stuff that you're bringing up to this event."
"That's why I'm asking you.
No. It's really important because you don't even know the stuff you're bringing up to make
so
someone
that's why
look
I'm
bad.
Asking you, do you agree or disagree? So I can
of course I disagree with rabbinic
there
Judaism. I'm a Christian.
So
Jesus is the solution. I hope every Jew gives their life to Christ."
"Right. You're trying to get clicks out of it. All I'm asking you is if
no, you
no,
you were trying to get clicks out. Who was trying to get clicks? He was trying to get clicks
not, I don't have a
out
YouTube
of
channel.
Trying to read the Talmud. You don't even know what it is, the Talmud."
"Okay,
so,
that's why
but,
I'm asking
but what Let me ask you a question. Do we as Christians have a biblical obligation to the Jews?"
You tell me, since I'm not knowledgeable on it.
Yes, we do.
How can you believe that there's the chosen people, you're Christian?
Hold on a second. Because Paul said first to the Jews.
Okay.
Paul was around in a time after the resurrection of Christ. Don't you acknowledge that there is something special in the book of Exodus when God decided to work miraculously of those people out of Egypt and bring them into the desert? Isn't that a chosen people? Secondly, the covenant, the law, the Decalogue, the Torah, they are the keepers of the law. Genesis 12:3, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. Same thing in the book of Numbers. And so we as Christians are bound to bless the state of Israel and to bless Jews.
Jews, how can you bless yourself, man?
Let's just talk more about Israel. Who's the bad actor, Israel or Hamas?
Well, Hamas is doing wrong, but that's not okay for what Israel is doing to the Palestinians.
What is Israel doing exactly? Tell me in detail. Where is it happening? War crimes, really? How?
What do you mean, how? They're killing little kids, man.
Well, killing kids. You mean they drop leaflets before they bomb in Gaza. They warn civilian corridors before they ever engage militarily. They do emergency medical procedures for any person in Gaza that might need it.
They're doing good, but it's okay for them to do bad then. That's what
it's called war,
saying.
Okay? And in war, sometimes bad things happen.
But it's a
Who
war
started
crime.
This? Well, it's war not a war crime. Crime. Throwing around war crime is a ridiculous. You know what a war crime is? A war crime is going into kibbutzes.
Killing children is a
Time
war
out.
Crime.
Going into kibbutzes, going into the a music festival, going into people's places of residences on October 7th.
You guys keep bringing up October 7th. You guys are doing
bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty important. If you're going to all of a sudden attack Jews on their holiest day of the interior of Israel, expect a whirlwind and don't complain
7th.
About it when it comes forward.
Yes,
are they
no?
intentionally killing kids? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No, they are not.
So
that is complete BS.
Why are there so many dead kids? Why are you okay with dead babies?
Good question. Why are there dead kids? Do you think Israel sits around and they say, how do we kill more kids in Gaza today?
So why are they killing kids then?
Exactly. Let's think. Maybe it's because Hamas uses the kids as human shields on top of their military bases. Maybe that's why. Maybe because the people of Hamas have no concern for the life of their own people.
If you really believe that, it'd be really stupid, man, to actually assume that that's the case.
We have documented cases of Hamas using hospitals, schools, and military installations layered with civilians. In fact, IDF goes to such great extents. How do you think Israel should have responded? 1,300 people die. How should Israel respond? Answer it. How should Israel respond? 1,300 civilians killed. How should Israel respond?
Mr. Kirk, you had your chance to talk. Can I ask you something?
Okay, no answer.
Are you okay with kids dying? Yeah.
No,
okay,
every kid dying is a tragedy, of course.
Okay, Israelis are killing the kids. Yes or no?
It's collateral damage in a war, of course. Okay. America, we killed tens of thousands of kids in World War II unintentionally.
For the one person that dies, it's okay to kill 10 kids, is basically what you're saying.
That's actually not what's happening at all.
That is, because you're blaming October 7th.
You must understand, in war, of which Hamas invited upon themselves, Hamas basically said, we're going to go invite and provoke you, Israel, and then they're complaining that Israel is better at war than them. That's what's happening.
Killing kids is not better at war.
The combatants of Hamas, they're indistinguishable to that of civilians. They don't use the actual rules of engagement. They don't wear uniforms. IDF wears uniforms. No one in Hamas wears uniforms. They don't wear uniforms. They disguise themselves as civilians. This is the hardest war that any military has ever had to fight in the modern context.
Okay.
And spare me the nitpicking of the Western world saying,
with October 7th. You can't talk about nitpicking.
Here's a moral difference. You know the moral difference? October 7th.
That one little
thing.
What?
October 7th was a little thing.
What happened was bad, yes.
It was unspeakably evil. You know why?
Okay, it was bad.
Because, number one, it was not in a theater of war. Number two, they didn't go after military targets. This is how cowardly Hamas is. They didn't go after Israel military bases.
I agree with Hamas?
No, I'm not saying that, but understand the moral difference.
That there's kids dying, there's people.
I don't like kids dying.
Exactly.
But you know who's responsible for the kids dying? Hamas is responsible for the kids dying, not Israel.
And Israel.
Hamas is responsible for their own kids dying.
Okay.
They provoked Israel. Israel responds.
I appreciate you for having this argument.
In closing, we agreed if Israel dropped down all their weapons, what would happen?
If Israel dropped down all their weapons, I'm in hope that Hamas would do the same.
Hamas's charter is the elimination of the Jewish state.
I hope Hamas would drop all their weapons.
No one likes what's happening. However, we must be morally clear why it started.
Yeah.
What was the beginning of it? What was the genesis? And the genesis was Hamas, on one of the holiest days on the Jewish calendar, which is Simchat Torah, they decided to go on Shabbat, not to attack military bases, not to go after the IDF. Mm-hmm. They went in the homes. They went to kibbutzes. They went to music festivals. They took hostages. And guess what? When they went back to Gaza, they were celebrated as heroes. They threw rave parties for these terrorists. They weren't like, whoa, this is kind of wrong. But there's a much deeper cancer and a rot happening in Gaza than just Hamas.
I can say the same thing about Israel.
Really? Do you know that there are Arab members of the Knesset? Are there Jewish members of Gaza or Palestinian Authority? You know that there's an Arab member of the Israeli Supreme Court? No, this is important because I don't like, I'm an America First guy, but I'm also a truth seeker. And I don't like to see the singular Jewish state of half the world's Jewry maligned and slandered every single day for no good reason. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's right. If Israel dropped their weapons, there would be a Holocaust in Israel. But if Hamas dropped their weapons, there would be peace. The issue of abortion is basic because if there's no right to life, then all other issues are irrelevant.
Here Charlie Kirk tries to explain that abortion is murder, no matter what age or stage the baby is in, and no matter whether the baby is inside its mother or outside having been born. It's ending the life of a human baby. We call that murder, and it should be illegal.
Because you say you're pro-choice, so you've obviously thought a little bit about the topic, right? When does human life begin?
I would say at conception.
Okay, if it's at conception, then shouldn't it be illegal to kill the human life?
I don't know, but like it's how the circumstances come to the child or the fetus being conceived.
Okay, so the circumstances, less than 1% of all abortions.
But I think that's important to talk about those 1% of abortions.
Let's get to it. I believe it should be illegal in those, but I want to try to I understand.
Okay.
But let's work our way up to it, and maybe I can have you think differently about it.
Sure.
Would you then say we should make the abortions illegal for all the other non-rape, non-incest, non-life of the mother instances?
I can't talk to all of those.
Right. So, but the method of conception at 99.4% of the time is two people that consent to having sex. It's not rape. It's not forced. Would you agree that we just keep abortion legal for rape, incest, life of the mother, but illegal if it's just a form of birth control to people that say...
No, because I don't think that there's like a social net for these women.
If there is no social safety net, is it okay to murder somebody if you can't afford
it? I don't believe it's murder.
But you said it's a human life, so what is it?
Again, that was kind of more yes or no question with the whole contraception. I'm not like...
Well, conception, that's okay.
Conception, sorry.
So let me try to win you over on the rape thing.
Sure.
Okay? Let's say I have two ultrasounds here. One ultrasound is a baby conceived in rape. Another ultrasound is a baby that was conceived in a loving couple relationship. Can you tell which one is which?
No.
Okay. Somebody in this audience was conceived in rape. Who is it?
You can't tell.
Because human rights don't stop just based on the method of your conception. So those of pro-lifers, we believe human rights are universal, granted by God, because we're all image bearers made in the image of God. Therefore, your life should be protected regardless of how you came into the world.
Shouldn't it be up to the woman to choose?
If it's not your DNA, why is it your choice?
Because it's in your body.
Got it. So just because it's temporarily inside of you, is that
she's
your being?
Caring for it. Like.
Got it. So I have a 6-month-old son.
Okay.
Should I be able to murder that son?
No.
We're caring for it.
No.
So why is it the standard doesn't apply to my 6-month-old son, but it would at a 6-week baby in utero?
I don't know. I just think it should be the woman's choice. The repercussions of the woman who's been raped.
Again, like, that's less than 1% of the instances.
I still think it's important to talk about because it does
occur. No, of course,
but
I want to make sure, just grant you. So let's say it wasn't a rape situation.
But why do we just go to the easy topic? I think...
Well, because it's 99.4% of all instances.
Exactly, but what about the rape issue?
No, I agree it should be illegal because a human life is a human life. Yes? Let me just ask one final question. You agree it's a human life in there?
It starts human life, yes.
Yeah, so shouldn't we give that human rights?
I don't know. I just think we need to know about... It shouldn't just be so black and white.
Is murder black and white?
No.
If I were to put a gun up to Rob's head and pull the trigger, is that black?
If my grandparents went up to a Nazi and shot the Nazi in the back of the head in Nazi Germany...
Well, hold on a second. Is an unborn baby in utero an equivalent to a Nazi?
No, I never said it was. I don't know why you're trying to like jump to it.
No, you
just brought up... You're bringing a gun to his head.
No, I know. Yeah,
I'm just saying that...
This should be illegal, yeah?
Yeah.
But why should this be legal?
Are you taking a gun to the fetus in utero?
Well, you know what happens in an abortion? They break the back of the baby. They put...
Is that the same with abortion pills?
The abortion pill is actually even more graphic. It actually starves the baby of nutrients, and the baby is quivering in pain and trembling for days on end as the progesterone goes down to nothing, and then the baby is forcibly discharged over a toilet called a chemical abortion.
Which weeks?
Between 3 to 10 weeks, chemical abortions are legal in all 50 states.
Right.
It's called the abortion pill.
pill, which is actually more dangerous for women than even surgical abortions, should we have a different moral standard for abortion than we do for people outside of the womb?
It's a question I need to think about.
Okay, that's good. Because here's our position. Our position is that it's wrong to murder Rob now, and also when Rob was 5 weeks in the womb.
Okay.
It's always wrong to murder Rob. You're welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
Let me tell you why. Because universal human equality doesn't stop based on your size, your level of development, your environment, or your degree of dependency.
Yeah, it's just, what about the women that want to perform an abortion at home?
Yeah, it's even worse.
It's still going to occur. Why can't they?
Okay, no, that's an interesting question. Rape is illegal, yes?
Yes.
But rapes still occur. Should it still be illegal?
Yes.
So therefore, that is not the good argument. Just because things will still occur.
But why can't we provide them with a safe environment?
Because there is no safe abortion, because it ends in murder.
For the woman.
Well, it's also not safe
for the person carrying the baby.
It's also not safe for the woman either. Abortion is very traumatic for the individual. Women are bleeding out at record rates. Emergency room visits are up nearly 2,000% for women with the abortion pill. Let me ask you a simple question, then a more deeper one. A woman usually says, I'm having a baby. Yes?
Okay.
Right. Why is it okay that we accept that one woman can say she's having a baby and another woman can say, clump of cells, I can terminate it? Why should morality be subjective in that? That it's just the person could decide what the being is?
I don't think that deeply about terminology being used.
It's not terminology. It's basic fundamental human morality. If a mom says, I want to murder my adult kids, why not? It's her choice. She's larger. They're dependent on her. So if a mom has a two-year-old, the two-year-old's annoying, why can't she murder that two-year-old?
It's against the law.
So shouldn't abortion also be against the law, since it's illegal to murder a two-year-old?
No, I don't think so.
Final question. A woman finds out she's having a baby with Down syndrome. Should it be legal to abort that baby based on the information?
Yes, it should be illegal.
Oh, yes, it should be illegal?
Should be illegal.
Okay, good. We agree. A woman finds out she's having a boy, but she wants a girl.
I just don't know where we're going with all these hypothetical questions.
These aren't hypothetical. In Iceland, it is the law to abort a baby if you find it has Down syndrome. These are not hypothetical. These are real situations. So our position is that a human life is a human life regardless of its size. Can you understand where we're coming from?
I totally get where you're coming from.
Thank you for your time.
Are you a Christian, by the way?
No.
Okay, I can tell. Thank you very much.
As Charlie Kirk said, 99.4% of the time, abortion is done simply for convenience, as birth control. If you are conceived by rape, should you be legally allowed to be killed? No, of course not. Your life should not be ended, no matter how you came to be.
Since a baby inside its mother is a completely different person from its mother with completely different DNA, and since it's human, why should it be legal to kill the baby simply because of its location inside its mother? It's one of the most unsafe places to be on the planet.
That's true. Public school teacher challenged Charlie Kirk for his stand to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education. The U.S. Department of Education doesn't teach anyone, but costs us billions of dollars.
Are you a teacher?
Yeah.
What do the administrators in your school do?
They help us out a lot. I mean, do you think I could manage my classroom?
Yes, absolutely.
You are wrong.
You need five administrators for every one teacher. That's the ratio.
You're right. That's bad.
Okay, but that's the current ratio. 5-1. We already have the evidence. From the Department of Education, we're the lowest in reading, math, arithmetic in the Western world. So maybe the solution is send the money back to the states, empower families and parents, moms and dads, spend the money as they see fit, more choice, more competition, and make it localized, not federalized.
Every dollar is taken out of the Florida public education system, given private families.
You're against school choice?
I'm not against school choice, as long as we fund education properly.
So you're against the money going to homeschooling? Like, you're talking way too fast.
So $3 billion is being taken out of the public education system.
It's their taxpayer dollars that are coming back as a refund. It's theirs.
Public money system.
It's their own money that's coming back. Florida is in the top 5 educational outcomes for students, right? And it was like number 30 or 40 back before school choice was. The Department of Education, why should the federal government have any role in education? Again, you have not answered the question. Department of Education got started in 1979. The same sort of nice sounding stuff we started to do over the last 35, 40 years. And we have the lowest standards ever had. We have broken public schools because spending money from DC does not solve the problem. Empowering parents does. Parental agency is the solution, not bureaucratic empowerment.
Federal government spending money based solely on tests hurts people, because then we don't get the money going to critical thinking, which your misinformation machine succeeds on.
Got it. So,
as reality.
So last question. Hold on. So you would say I'm a misinformation machine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Fine. You're a teacher.
Yes.
What is a woman?
What is a woman? Oh, buddy. We define gender as a set of preferences that you have. Gender is a set of preferences that we have. woman is a social construct that we've agreed upon. Typically, we imagine womanhood as makeup or whatever. There is a difference between the word woman and being a biological female. Woman is a social construct that we use. Listen for a second. I'm telling you what it means. Woman is a social construct. We agree on these set of preferences. If I tell you that I'm a man, it's because I want you to know that I like these set of preferences. If I tell you I'm a woman, it's because I want you to know that I agree with these set of preferences.
Can men give birth?
Can men or can males? Because males can't. Listen for a second. If you listen to your bio professors, you'd understand there's a difference between biology and what we think
about. So I want to thank you for proving a great point.
What?
You are why we should eliminate the Department of Education. Thank you very much.
Excellent point, Charlie Kirk. This public school teacher can't define what a woman is, but says that genders are merely social constructs, that there are many genders depending on what a person believes they are, which is contrary to common sense biology. But it's not even biology. They don't care. It's how they feel and how they're identifying in their brain. It doesn't make sense. If private schools, yes, Christian schools, do a better job educating students for much less money, then it makes sense that we should give them the taxpayer money.
That's absolutely right. But the issue is control. The powerful unions don't want to give up their control, their total control of education, so they can determine that only evolution is taught, not creation science, that immoral sex education is taught, no purity, no abstinence, nothing Christian, only their distorted view of history. It's our tax dollars, and it should be used to create competition, not the one-size-fits-all monopoly that's public schools. Here's an example of an indoctrinated young lady who thinks that Charlie Kirk's organization and the Make America Great Coalition are simply dangerous cults.
Would you agree/disagree that the Make America Great movement is a cult?
No. What is a cult?
Absolute authoritarianism without meaningful accountability. Trump.
I would argue that we actually have far more intellectual diversity in the MAGA movement than your traditional Democrat Party.
I see where you're going with this, and sitting MAGA movement, agree with him no matter what.
Would you agree that when the Democrats sat during the State of the Union address to not applaud a kid with brain cancer, that is cult-like behavior? Because their leader told them not to do it.
So who's their leader?
Chuck Schumer or Hakeem Jeffries? They had strict orders, do not stand and applaud for anything Trump does. They told us this. And so then Trump says, hey, can we just have a moment of non-political? Here's DJ Daniel. He's dying of brain cancer. He's now a ceremonial member of the Secret Service. And every Democrat sat with their arms crossed, not even being able to show the humanity. I mean, that's a cult.
What the Democratic Party did that night was correct.
It's so destructive to our politics to call people that just won a national electoral landslide and the national popular vote as part of a cult. Maybe they have better ideas than we do.
Maybe. They just...
Do you know the wealthier you are in America, the more likely you are to be a member of the Democrat Party? If you work with your hands and you don't graduate from college, that you're less likely to be a Democrat. Now, one of your fellow cult members just screamed at me from the audience saying, well, that's because, you know, they're so educated. Never conflate everybody, credentials, with an education. Just because you have a lot of degrees does not mean you have the most important thing. Wisdom. Wisdom is different than a credential. We are not going to bring this country together, of which is actually our goal here as part of the MAGA movement, which is why we have an open mic. If you go around accusing people as if we're following Charlie Manson.
You just did the same thing to me.
I said, if this is the standard of our dialogue right now, the Democrat Party is far more of a cult than the Republican Party. That is not a contention that I throw around lightly. You satisfy the requirements way more than the MAGA movement.
And I grew up in a conservative household, and I moved to college in a very conservative state. I actually become more progressive.
Okay, and so how is your relationship with your parents?
We don't agree on most things, but...
Wait, so they didn't kick you out for having a different opinion? They're terrible cult members. Wait, they still love you for who you are, and do they pay your tuition?
Nope.
Okay,
I pay my own tuition. I pay everything on my own.
Well, good. Then they're even better parents. They make you pay for your own stuff. So you can't even point to your own family as being part of a cult. They still love you. They still talk to you.
I do believe that my parents are in a cult.
Do you understand how damaging that is to say the people who raised you brought you into the world, that you're a cult because some professor told me the definition of a cult in an anthropology course?
Nope. Thank you. It was nice to talk to you, though.
Thank you for your time.
University students have been so brainwashed that most lose their biblical faith, become liberal functional atheists, and is not supposed to be biased. Well, it's extremely biased.
It is extremely biased, and it has succeeded in indoctrinating generations of Americans, K through 12 included.
But now we're seeing a turning point as Charlie Kirk and others enlighten young people to the truth, so that we're witnessing a new generation of young conservatives being turned into conservatives and away from liberal atheism. They have a much better chance of becoming born-again Christians.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 2006, Honoring the Life of Charlie Kirk, Part 1. That's number 2006, Honoring the Life of Charlie Kirk, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a CD, call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.